We're on today with Dr. Jeff Edwards, our state wheat specialist. And Jeff, let's talk a little bit about what you've seen over the last 10 days or so in the aftermath of this freeze event that we had mid-April and compounded on the drought conditions themselves.
Yeah, over the last week to 10 days, that April 15th freeze event has really started to show up. It's really unusual what we're seeing, though. It's the opposite of what we expected. Normally, when we have a freeze event like that, we expect the wheat that is the farthest along to be hit the hardest. But what we're seeing is wheat that was in the boot or just poking out of the top of the boot at the time of that freeze event seems to have made it through it fairly well. The smaller wheat that had around two nodes or two joints at the time of the freeze really got hit hard. The other wheat that got hit hard would be the drought-stressed wheat, and we have a lot of that in the state for sure this year. It went ahead and finished some of that drought-stressed wheat, finished it off. It was scorched, and I don't give any hope for recovery on much of that.
What I guess the old adage of water is the antifreeze for wheat in cold temperatures.
It is. It helps insulate the soil and keep those canopy temperatures a little bit higher than the air temperatures reported by the Mesonet. The other thing is, if you have a nice thick canopy, it holds in some warmth as well. And our drought-stressed wheat, we didn't have that. So when the air temperature dropped, it dropped fairly quickly, and we saw a lot of injury.
When you think about, you look statewide, where's the best prospect still, if we get some rain?
If we get some rain, we still have some good wheat prospects in the Enid area. We didn't have quite as much freeze injury. We had the tillers there that we needed to be able to go ahead and produce a crop. I would have given that crop, if we'd have gotten rain a month ago, I would have given it maybe 70 bushel potential. Current status, we get some rain, I think it could still be 40 bushel potential. If we don't get rain and get some timely rain on a regular basis, we could be looking at 20 or 30 bushel potential before we know it.
And so, when we start talking about rain, we need not just a single rain, we need a series of rains.
We do, because we're working basically paycheck to paycheck with these rainfall events. We get some rain, but the temperatures get in the 80s and we have evapotranspiration, and before you know it, that rain event is gone and we don't have any reserve in the soil really to work from. So we're going to need not only rain, but some timely rains on a more regular basis than we've been receiving them.
Well, we're going to be obviously making an estimate as far as the size of the crop next Wednesday in the state, and the Kansas boys have got their tour next week. Maybe that breaking point in recent years has been about 100 million bushels plus or minus. Are we got any hope of going over 100 bushels, 100 million bushels this year?
I don't think so, but I said that last year, and I was off. I was way off, and I hope I'm wrong again this year. But I just don't see how we can even get close to 100 million. I think we'll be well below 100 million bushels. Again, I hope I'm wrong, and maybe the weather will work out perfectly like it did last year. But I do anticipate we'll be much below that number.
For those guys that have already seen that wheat pretty well finished off by the freeze and the overall dryness, if they're able to get it zeroed out, is there much forage there?
There is some forage potential there, so they can go ahead and graze it out. The other thing that our producers need to really keep an eye on this year, especially our no-till producers, is volunteer wheat. We've seen a lot more wheat streak mosaic virus downstate this year. They used to just be a panhandle problem, but it's been downstate, and it's because of the amount of volunteer that we've had. So it's going to be important to keep an eye on that volunteer and keep it under control this summer.
When you've looked at several of your wheat stations so far and gotten around to check on a lot of them, anything sticking out in your mind that are some takeaway points for 2014 so far?
Well, I think our newer varieties look like they're going to perform well and to continue working in some of that new germplasm we've had. The fortunate thing about having so many locations is we've got some high-yielding locations most years and some low-yielding, so you can see it across a variety of environments. And what we've seen is our newer varieties pulling away from the older ones in terms of yield potential. So just incorporating some of that new germplasm, splitting your varieties early, medium, and late. A freeze event like this one really hammers that home, splitting your maturity as much as possible.
One other question, as far as you in your discussion with folks today here at Chickasha, you were talking about the genetic potential of these newer varieties. That was a pretty interesting figure you threw out there, well above 100 bushels.
Right. Our genetic yield potential, just limited by genetics in our hard red winter wheat varieties that we're growing now, the newer varieties, would easily be about 180, 190 bushels per acre. Then you have the limitations according to environment. And as we've seen in Oklahoma, sometimes that potential is closer to 50 bushels. But in most of our locations, such as here at Chickasha, that limitation as dictated by environment is around 100, 110 bushels per acre. So anything below that, then we're limiting it by management and how we're managing our wheat. So certainly there are some ways we can improve our management and hopefully get our realized yields closer to that environmental potential.